Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the Food guys. Well, you've been titillating me with little tidbits about something called orange puff cake.
Yes, I have.
What was that story?
The story is this. Maida Heater, who was pretty much my baking guru.
The Maida Heater,
wow. Who died recently at the age of 102.
She was only 102.
And she was known as the queen of cake. So clearly eating all that sugar and chocolate and all that stuff was fine. Anyhow,
didn't stop her.
Her first cookbook was published in 1974 and was called Maida Heater's Book of Great Desserts. I discovered that book in 1976, and I was so taken by the way she described her recipes, and she made you feel like she was right with you in the kitchen. I made up my mind on the spot that I was going to bake everything from the book.
Everything.
267 recipes later.
Only Greg Patton does this.
18 months, and I had gone through the whole book. And I had learned so much. It was like going through a professional baking course.
Well, you have a master's degree in Maida Heater.
I could certainly do that. But on page 107 was Mildred Knopf's orange puff cake, which
Mildred.
Was a very...
Blanche's sister,
Mildred Knopf was a noted hostess. And related to the Knopf publishing empire.
Yeah.
And so this was a recipe from one of her books that Maida took and reproduced verbatim in Maida's book. And Maida waxed poetic about the cake because she said she made it very often for her father, the renowned newscaster Gabriel Heater.
Gabriel Heater?
Yes.
I remember Gabriel Heater.
Yeah, I know a lot of folks our age remember Gabriel Heater.
Mutual Broadcasting System, it's good news tonight.
Yes, and so he would have a slice of this cake every day.
Every day?
Yes, so she called it Daddy Cake.
Daddy Cake.
Daddy Cake.
She baked him cake.
Yeah, so this was it was a typical kind of sponge cake where you beat the egg whites and the egg yolks separately and you fold everything together, except in this case, the egg whites... It wasn't just beating sugar into egg whites. You created a sugar syrup and beat them into the egg whites to make an Italian meringue.
Wow.
And then you had grated orange rind and orange juice and cake flour, and it was very straightforward. So I made this for a dinner party the very first time, and I put it in the oven. It was in a tube pan. And 10 minutes before the cake was done, I peer in, and I cannot see the cake. I can see the pan, but I cannot see the cake. It had collapsed. It had collapsed to a height of about 2 inches, and I was absolutely devastated.
Of course, he had
so
to send out for
I
cake.
Actually wrote to Maida. I wrote to her, and I said, "I think this is an altitude problem. Can you help me out?" And she says, "Well, I live in Miami. I don't have any experience with altitude, so
maybe it only works in Miami."
Well. I made the cake a few years later in Miami, and it turned out great the way she wrote
really?
It. The way she wrote it. But in the meantime, I was here at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And I spent 4 years working on and off on weekends, and I got the recipe to finally work. I had to change.
How did you do
it? Well, I had to change one thing at a time, and I had to change a little bit of this and a little bit of that over time. But the main thing, John, was to put the cake into a cold oven, not preheated, so that...
A cold oven.
Yes. Then I turned the oven on. And you know why it worked at that point? Because given a borderline altitude, the bubbles in the cake expand at a certain rate. At a certain rate, the proteins around that bubble have to set. Now, if the oven is preheated for this kind of cake... The gas is expanding, but then the protein is setting too quickly, and the gas is still expanding.
Oh.
And that, so you see the cake rising and rising, and it's doing great, and then all of a sudden, phew, it's like you let the air out of the tires. And I was crestfallen.
Of course you were. You were flattened.
I was flattened. I cannot tell you how many hundreds of eggs I went through. over a four-year period. Hundreds of eggs. And moderate, because
chickens
you can only change one thing
careers.
At a time. You can only change one thing at a time. But the crux, the critical step, was putting the cake in a cold oven.
Cold oven.
Yes. And also, Maida says you can't make this cake in the machine. You have to make it always by hand. And I've always mixed it up by hand with a flat beater. You know, not just a regular whisk, but a flat beater. And then my friend Diane Jacob, who writes a blog, will write for food, said, you should be able to do this in the mixer, shouldn't you? And so I did, and I was able to make it in a mixer. But it's much more fun to do it by hand.
What is this cake like when it comes out?
It's very high. It's about 4 inches high, very light textured. It's orange colored because you have the yolks, plus you have orange juice and the rind. And so it's got a very delicate texture, much lighter than a typical sponge cake.
Uh-huh.
And it is wonderful sliced with some fresh strawberries on it and some drizzle with some creme anglaise. It makes a fabulous dessert that way. Or you can just eat it plain.
I think I would eat it plain. Or you could probably eat
it like
Gabriel
Heater. Well, you can
eat
it both
ways.
It's so light. There's no fat in it other than whatever's in the yolks. There's no added fat.
When did Gabriel Heater eat it?
He ate it after dinner every night.
After dinner every night.
Uh-huh.
After dinner. And you could join him.
And he'd say, ah, there's good news tonight.
Yes, there is good news tonight because there's Maida Heater's cake. He was the luckiest man in the world and didn't know it. With that, we invite you to come back next week for
The Food Guys.